say, well, I asked and it didn't happen. Well, keep on. He says, seek. Now notice that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Look back there at verse 5. He says here that's why one reason you want to be able to speak in tongues is so and interpret, so that you can edify the whole church. He says, hey, don't just want to speak in tongues, but want to be able to do it where you can edify the church. Well, Lord, I'm kind of bashful and I don't want to do that. Well, that's not right. So ask, seek, that you may edify the church. Now, get these next two verses. They are two of the most, these next three verses, they are really important for us to understand. Wherefore, let him that speaks in a tongue, now the tongue is unknown to the guy talking, but it's not an unknown tongue, it's a real language. Let him pray that he may interpret. So God says this, look, hey, see, the old Pentecostal teaching was kind of like this. Now, you are our official interpreter. You know, you've got the gift. No, he doesn't. The whole Pentecost teaching is, this guy has the gift of healings. No, he doesn't. God may use him with a gift of healing, but as soon as he lays hands on that person or anoints them with oil and they get healed, he doesn't have any gift. They're not his gifts. They're the Holy Spirit's gifts. They're not your gifts. They're his gifts. And he gives them individually. And if I'm sick and he gives me the gift of healing, when he steps back, he doesn't have a gift of healing anymore. He's got to get a new one if someone's going to get healed. So that he can't brag that he's got the gift. If he had the gift of healing and it was his all the time, everyone he laid hands on would get healed. He could empty every hospital in this state. That isn't the way it is. And if I had the gift of tongues, the way the old Pentecostal way of teaching was, then anytime I wanted to, I could speak in tongues a message to you guys. But I can't. I can only do it when he moves me, or you, whichever one. But notice he says, hey, also pray that you can interpret. Why? So that you not only edify yourself, but that you can edify the church as well. Hey, praise the Lord. It's okay if God gives you both. Isn't that wonderful? But watch this, y'all. Here's the trap we've fallen into. We've missed this one sometimes. Now, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Ooh. We better write that down. Let's see what he's saying here. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. He says, when I'm praying in a tongue, the Spirit, my Spirit, prays. But I don't understand what I'm just saying. Understanding? No. It's unfruitful. The old mind doesn't understand what's going on. Oh, my spirit's having a good time. Let me explain that to you. Listen to me. See, a teacher, the real teacher in this room is the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what are you here for? To help move what you know to be true in your spirit already to your understanding. You already know all things in the Spirit. See, let me talk to you about that. See, the Trinity. I don't completely understand the Trinity with my intellect, but I do in my spirit. I mean, inside me, I just am so relaxed about the Trinity. In here, it's just nothing to that. I know it's so. Just no problem, no sweat. Up here, now that is something else again. So my understanding can't keep up with what my spirit knows. Now, there are many other things that's true about. That there are things that I know in my spirit are true, but I don't really comprehend it all. So the teacher comes along under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to move what you know to be true from your spirit up to your understanding. All right? And the moment, see, you may not have even known you knew it was true, but the moment a Bible teacher tells you something that's truth, the Holy Spirit says, yeah! Because he's always known that was true. Gives you a green light. And when the guy's wrong, the Holy Spirit in you turns on a red light. He says, nope, pray for him, love him. You know. And as I've said so many times, watch out that you know that that's the Holy Spirit and not the gift of suspicion. Co-companion with the gift of criticism. All right. Now, well, what am I going to do about this? Look, everybody. He says, we got two things going. praying with understanding and praying without understanding. Verse 15. Well, what will I do? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Now look at that, y'all. He clearly says that he can pray with understanding and pray with the Spirit. So obviously, y'all, praying in the Spirit is not praying with understanding. There's two different things. Two totally different things. See, I was taught over at my church that praying in the Spirit meant, you know, really get down there on your knees and grab hold of the horns of the altar. In English. No, I understand what I'm saying when I do it that way. But God says there's another way to pray, and that's when your spirit, Floyd, is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Howbeit in the Spirit I speak mysteries. Okay? Look at the next part. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Ooh, there's two ways to sing. One way is where I understand what I'm saying, and another way is when I don't understand. Now, that's what God says. See, I was taught at my church that praying with the Spirit was really getting zealous and fervent as I sang, you know, the old rugged cross. No, it isn't. That is spiritual, and it was wonderful, and I enjoyed it. But that is not what this says. This says there's a way to sing with the Spirit, and when you sing with the Spirit, you obviously don't understand what you're saying. Does everybody see that? There's two different things being talked about. In the book of Jude, I can see it's getting late, so I'm going to let you go here pretty quick. I'm going to watch it. And I'm very frustrated because I've only said about half. And you know, the bad thing about teaching half of it tonight is there are certain things that you can't fit together yet. You're not sure on yet because I hadn't gotten to say the rest. And I hate to leave all those loose ends dangling for a whole week for Satan to play with the dangled ends, you know. But I want you to see this. Now, keep one finger there and let's turn to Jude 20. I kind of feel like I've said just enough right now to get everybody stirred up and upset. And I'm not going to get to finish to get everybody's nerves calmed a little bit, you know, with the rest of the story. Verse 20. Ye beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I used to think that was speaking, praying in English. But I just learned what praying in the Spirit is. And he says it's to build yourself up. Do you see that? How many of you see that it's supposed to build you up in your faith? Well, beloved, I just read back here with you in Corinthians 14, verse 4, that if you pray in a tongue, speak in a tongue, you're building up yourself. And I just read with you in verse 14 and 15 that praying in the Spirit was praying without understanding. But I want to at the same time bring you to a balance. Now hear me carefully, beloved. Observe in verse 14 and 15, it didn't say just pray in tongues by yourself. He says, now what am I going to do? I will do both. I will pray with understanding and without it. In other words, beloved, hear me. God doesn't want you to become so mystic and mystical that you're only going to spend all your time praying in tongues. God doesn't want just your spirit being edified and built up. He also wants your understanding built up. So God says, now I'm saying this because there's a lot of brothers going around that are stressing the speaking in tongues to the point that they're saying just pray in tongues exclusively. Just pray in tongues hours and hours and hours. Without any understanding. Now, beloved, that is not a good balance. That leads us... See, we get trapped off into mysticism where, you know, we get the feeling, well, if God doesn't do something supernatural, it's hardly worth going. That's not true. It's just not true. All right? And I might add this. Of all the gifts of the Spirit, there's nine of them here in Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Seven of them were in the Old Testament. Only the gift of tongues and interpretation did not come until the New Testament, until the day of Pentecost. All right. Parting shots for the night then. Verse 16. He says, now, see, I've got to understand what I'm doing here. He says, I will sing with understanding also, else when you shall bless with the Spirit, You want to know what blessing with the Spirit is? Look, he says, now blessing with the Spirit means, how will he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you're saying? He says, if you're blessing in the Spirit, nobody understands what you're saying, unless, of course, we get an interpretation. Are you seeing that? He says, when you bless with the Spirit, we got to have an understanding. Else, hey, what if I stand here and I bless God in my own prayer language? Gosh, you guys sit there and say, I don't know if he cursed God or blessed him. I don't know if that guy's demon-possessed and speaking in tongues or whether he's with the Lord. You can know that. But the point I'm making is, how do you know whether to say, amen, brother? Or to sit there and say, hey, whose side is he on? Well, you don't unless you get an interpretation. Okay? But I'm trying to underscore that blessing with the Spirit was in a language that was unknown to the person speaking and to the people in the room. Verse 17, for you verily are giving thanks well, but the other guy isn't built up because he can't understand it. Now, thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Hey, look, we've been in here a long time tonight. What if the whole time we were in here I was just speaking in tongues? That hadn't done you guys any good. So, and this is church. This is a group of believers meeting. Now, this is church. You don't have to have a steeple. And so, yes, in here. I'd rather just... Now, he isn't saying don't speak in tongues here. What he is saying here in these 2 verses is, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Therefore, he's mainly doing it privately because he says he's not doing a lot of speaking in tongues in church. But he isn't forbidding to speak in tongues in church. What he's saying is, I don't want you speaking in tongues out loud in church unless all of us can understand it. Therefore, we need an interpretation. Pray that God will let you interpret. If he says no to you, don't sweat it. You'll let somebody else do it. Someone says, well, Brother Floyd, when you speak in tongues for the church, God gives them, do you know what you're saying? Nope. He already told you I don't. No, I don't have any idea what I'm saying. Well, how do you know there's an interpreter present? If you're in the Spirit, he isn't going to tell you to speak out loud unless it is. He will give you discernment to know. You say, well, Brother Floyd, if you interpreted the message in tongues, do you hear it in your own language? I mean, if Shirley stands up and gives a message in a tongue that none of you ever heard of, and I stand up to interpret, did I understand in English what she was saying? Nope. Didn't understand a word she said. You say, well, how did you know what to do? God bore witness with my spirit, maybe through a word of knowledge. I'm not sure just how he did it, but I knew I had it. Amen. I just knew. And God says, stand to your feet and speak in faith. I just stand there and by faith, I start. One word at a time with stammering lips sometimes. And I give forth as the Spirit reveals to me. And I interpret. But no, I don't understand what I'm saying. Now, here's something else. Please understand this. Remember, it is not, oh, hear me, Israel. It is the gift of interpretation, not translation. Ta-da! Therefore, oh, there's a big difference. Shirley could give a gift in tongues, a message in tongues, very short. And I could stand up here for about 2 minutes telling you about that. Why? Because I am explaining what she said. I'm not giving you word for word what she said. I'm giving an interpretation of what she said. You know, hey, you know the way newspaper reporters give a report is they say, yes. Now, a scientist, let me tell you how a scientist talks, something like this. The reason I so tenaciously held to my former thesis in view of overwhelming facts to the contrary was because... Now, a good newspaper man would have said, I was wrong. See, that's what that scientist was saying with all those big words. See, but he couldn't bring himself to say, I was wrong. Right. So, in other words, you can elaborate. Now, the Holy Spirit can give a literal translation. He's free to do it because he's the boss. But the point is, he doesn't have to because it isn't the gift of translations. It's the gift of interpretation. Now, one good case of this, and let me give a testimony here real quick. I had just let a man that used to work for me, his PhD, Dutchman. Oh, he was a professional atheist. Now, I just led him to the Lord. It took 2 years, but he saw the change in my life. And he and his wife accepted the Lord in our living room one day. They were unsavable. I'm saying that to you to encourage you guys that have got unsavable parents and brothers and wives. You know, these guys were unsavable. Absolutely, they weren't immoral, they were amoral. And I told them, you know, they got saved, and I told them, baptized them, and told them, you know, prayed for them to be filled with the Spirit, explained being filled with the Spirit, explained about tongues and all that good stuff. And we went down to Evangelistic Temple to church. And boy, here we are sitting there. And I was alone with the Lord. I was talking to Father. And as I was talking to Father, we got a message in tongues for the body of Christ. And frankly, I wasn't listening to the message. I wasn't interested in the message. I was going to wait. You know, I was still talking to God. I'd get there for the interpretation. You know what I mean? I had hold of the Lord, and I didn't feel like letting go. And so I finished praying, but I never really heard a word of the tongue. I mean, I heard it, and that was all. But I didn't pay any attention. And so I finished praying to the Father to get the message, the interpretation. And here came this beautiful message from the Lord. Very edifying. So I turned to my friend, Dr. Prompt, to see how he had taken it. You know, I mean, I wonder how my buddy's holding up. You know, first time he ever heard any of this stuff. And he looked at me and he says, "You know what language that was, don't you?" I hadn't listened. I said, "Well, Bert, to tell the truth, I wasn't listening to that. I was praying and I picked up the interpretation." Now, Dr. Prompt speaks 7 languages fluent. And he says, "Greek!" Now, he didn't have New Testament Greek. He speaks modern Greek. He says, "Greek!" Gosh, that kind of shook me up. So I said, "Well, was the interpretation correct?" He looked at me as though I'd lost my mind. I'd already told him it was from the Lord. He just gave me the quickest brush off you ever heard. He said, "Of course." Just like that. Just like that. "Of course." And went on about his business, you know. And I sat there kind of saying, "Well, Lord, I just got told off, didn't I?" Now, we won't have time for tonight, but there are other things that it's for. And I'm going to pull this to a close right now. And, oh, I hate to, but I'm just going to do it. Now, there were some questions before I pray with you. Yes.
The Lord gave you a message.
Maybe, maybe not. He could, because see, verse 12 there says, "Pray that you can also get the interpretation." Now, let me say this. A lot of times, see, if I gave a message in tongues right now, God might give one of you the interpretation, and you know you got it, but you're scared. You've never had one before, and you might not do it. Now, it's important. See, God will give you understanding. I was a Full Gospel Businessman in Lake Charles one night, and I was going to give my testimony, and we were all standing praying, and everyone sat down except one woman, and she stood there and was speaking in tongues. And I knew it was not for the group. She was just standing there praying out loud in her prayer language, and I knew this. And so I began to get nervous a little bit that somebody was going to feel obligated to jump up and give us an interpretation. Because I knew doggone well that she wasn't speaking in tongues. And the leader of the Full Gospel over there turned to me because he knew what I knew, and he was nervous too and was looking to me for some help. He knew that wasn't a message in tongues for the group. She was just standing there praying out loud. She was praising the Lord in her prayer language. And she wasn't being very loud. She just was praying at a tone about like this. And we could hear her. And this poor guy didn't know what to do. And I shook my head at him and I said, "No, it's not a message in tongues. She's praying in her prayer language." And he said, "That's what I thought too." Well, just about the time she sits down, someone begins to speak in English. And it was tremendous. It was powerful. It was right on. But it wasn't the interpretation of what she said. We got a prophecy. We didn't get an interpretation. There was no... She was not. It was a tremendous word of prophecy that God gave us, and it shook the room, too. And so most people, nearly everybody, left that night thinking we had gotten a message in tongues with an interpretation, and we didn't. We really didn't at all. Now, I'll just throw this out as a parting shot. God has used every gift of the Holy Spirit through me. The first time I ever got the interpretation in tongues, a message in tongues, I've had the interpretation, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 times or so. I've never spoken in tongues publicly as a message. Now, I have spoken in tongues out loud around people to encourage them. You know, the idea being, golly, his prayer language doesn't sound so hot. I mean, and he's not special. If God can do that for him, he can sure do it for me. You know, but to encourage them. Especially around Baptist brothers when I'm trying to encourage them to open their mouth and say something. Because God isn't going to throw you down and make your mouth move. One night, I got a message in tongues for the group. And I was scared. And I wouldn't do it. And I began to perspire a little bit. I knew I was being disobedient, but boy, I just could not bring myself to do it. Now, let me tell you about the grace of God. God wanted that message gotten across so strongly that He gave it to me in English by a prophecy. And I spoke it forth in English. He has never given me another message in tongues in public. Now, that doesn't mean He never will. Please don't misunderstand. But the point is, Dad has gotten a point across to me that when he tells me to speak, he wants me to speak. And I got it straight. Next time that happens, I'm going to do it. See, because I'm counting on him doing it again. I'm just telling you, you know, if God does it, it's right, it'll go well. And many times you'll hear someone do it, and then someone may get the interpretation, and they won't get up and speak. They're just like I was when I wouldn't give the prophecy. And so everyone sits there and gets nervous as, you know, 2 minutes go by. You know how long 2 minutes can be? Oh, it's awful. It's awful. And God may go on and give it to someone else. But you can sit there and keep your mouth. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit never makes a man speak if you don't want to speak. Now, that's not completely true. He'll do that to lost people, but I can't find where He ever did it to a saved person. Remember when God threw old Saul down to the ground? I mean, those 50 guys He sent, and they prophesied out there in the sun? Ha ha. You know, that shows you don't have to be a prophet to speak with prophecy. Saul sent soldiers out to arrest David, and they lay down there in the hot sun and started prophesying. He sent some more soldiers. They lay down in the hot sun and started prophesying. These guys weren't prophets, but God was using them. So you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. It's the Doria gifts. Look, listen to me very quickly. It's in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1. Listen to me. God wants to protect you guys. It's not enough that somebody walks in this room, some swinger walks in this room and says, hey, I'm a prophet. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a pastor. How do we know? There's got to be... Someone says, oh, I just bore witness to that. That isn't good enough to be a Berean. Give the Holy Spirit something to bear witness to, the Word of God. They checked out what Paul taught in Berea. And the Spirit bore witness to the Word of God. God says it's not enough to have a man with a message. That man's got to be a man with character. And here's some ways you can tell if I have called that guy to be an apostle, a prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, an elder. Those are elders. All those positions are elders. And there are qualifications. And he says, I'll never have a novice. Somebody gets saved last week and comes in today and says, I'm an apostle, I'm an evangelist, I'm a prophet. God may call him to that someday and may be grooming him for that, but he isn't that. No novices. Hey, God says, listen, y'all, when I send men in to lead you, we ain't got time for on-the-job training. We ain't got time for him to make mistakes. He's got to learn. Listen, he's got to have some fruit of the Spirit and some Christian character built into him, and that takes time. Fruit grows. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that happens instantaneously. Kaboom! But character is slow growing. And you've got to go down in the valley of death and come out of it many times to have some character grow. Okay, that's enough for tonight. Stand anyway. At least stand, and we'll take one last question back here. Fran?
Sometimes I've been in groups where they sing the spirit together.
Yes.
Would you speak to that?
Well, yeah, the only thing I can say negative about singing in the Spirit in unison is, now some of the, y'all, you may not like this, but let me tell you how I feel about it. Singing in the Spirit, yeah, I believe the Spirit will give us all a melody and everything. I just don't like to have people playing pianos and things to get us on chord. If we're really singing in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can not only give us the words, He can give us the melody.
Amen.
I can't find anything wrong in Scripture with singing in the Spirit, because the verses we're reading, now everyone, look again. These are verses about the body of Christ. Let me prove that to you very quickly. And I'll promise. Listen to verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together in one place, we're talking about the church. Verse 26. How is it then, brothers, when you come together, when you come together, every one of you has a song, so. It's talking about all of us coming together. Verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. What I'm saying is, everything we're reading about here is God telling us how to be in order in the church. And He talks about singing in the Spirit here. So, therefore, that must be okay. I've been in groups where I cringed. Oh, I mean, I just like someone scratches their fingernails on the blackboard. Women and men singing, quote, in the Spirit when they were competing with each other. There was no melody. There was no harmony. It was awful. Just terrible. And let me tell you, I didn't ever want to go back. It was bad. You know, everybody trying to out-spiritualize everybody else. Now, just because that was wrong doesn't mean I ought to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Right?